This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Nothing's gonna turn them back now. Straight ahead and on the track now. They're gonna make your dreams come true. Doing it their way, there ain't nothing they won't try. Never heard the word impossible this time. There's no stopping them, the Royal Dalton. On your marks, get set and go now. A dream and they just know now, they're gonna make your dreams come true, and they'll do it your way, yes your way, make all their dreams come true, and they'll do it your way, yes your way, make all your dreams come true.
Now, Michael Dalton, do you ever have an event or go to an event and wish you'd had your camera because you would like to remember that event some months, some weeks into the future?
Yeah, I do.
Yes?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you a story, because I read today about a couple in Japan who've been married for 88 years. They're both 100.
Wow.
Right, 101. One is 101 and his wife is 103.
Gosh.
They married in 1924. Okay. And, of course, in 1924, there really weren't cameras around.
No.
You know, there was no... You couldn't have the option to get your wedding photos taken. So this couple, throughout their entire 88 years of marriage, have wanted to have wedding photos.
Oh.
So you know what they've done?
Tell me.
They've gone and got wedding photos taken in the last week.
Isn't that lovely?
Well, you can imagine they look a little bit different from what they looked like 88 years ago.
Did they wear their original outfits?
Well, I don't know if they wore their original outfits, but they certainly wore a wedding dress and a suit.
Oh.
And let me just pass you the photograph and you can see what they look like.
Oh, my God. Have you noticed that it's quite near the ad for a movie?
Called The Hobbit.
Oh, my goodness.
So how would you describe that?
Oh. Like death. Like death in a wedding outfit.
Well, surely that's next.
Oh my goodness. Wow, good on him.
Well, that's right. I mean, sometimes
he looks better than she does.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't think that they really needed the veil on her.
I think anyone over the age of, I'm going to say anyone over the age of 50 who gets married should probably not wear a veil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no rule.
No.
And we would be happy to be proved wrong.
Yes.
But this hasn't done it.
No.
No, because the veil looks like skin or hair or something.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no. Oh, it's unfortunate, isn't it? Well, good on them. We wish them well.
Don't we?
We should send them a card.
Should we?
We'd better send it quick.
Yeah. Who knows what's next?
Priority post. Oh, bless them, though.
There was a woman I used to work with who she got married, and it was like, for her, it was like this the most amazing thing, for as it is for many people. But she'd been single for a long time. Mm-hmm. She'd met this really nice guy. She got married. You know, the whole lead up to the wedding was just like the biggest thing. It was like she was planning, I don't know.
Well, it is massive, isn't it?
It's huge.
She'd waited all that time.
Yeah, that's right. It just took up so much of her attention.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, all she really ever talked about was her wedding, you know, and she would bring her wedding album in all the time. Like if a new staff member started, she'd tell them about the wedding and they'd be like, I'll bring in the album.
Like
I'll bring
a bridezilla.
Yeah, a little bit like a bridezilla.
A trivia winner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Never shuts up about it. But she said like her wedding photos were a little ruined because she didn't have photos on the beach because it wasn't the nicest day.
Mm.
So, you know what she did?
Oh, no.
She one day put the dress on.
It.
She went back and got her husband's suit. She went and got flowers made. She got her hair done. And they went down to the beach and reenacted their wedding photos.
Wow. Mm. That's, you know, yeah. I guess it's a bit sad, but
well, yes.
You know, it's what you want to do.
It's a little extreme, isn't it?
Still in love and you're still married. Mm. It'd be worse if you were divorced and you got him to come back.
It'd be a bit weird.
You know, there's a big market now in getting people, getting photos done the night after the wedding,
right?
In your bed and everything with your husband.
Oh,
yes.
So what you have them taken on the day and then again the next
That's
night.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then what sort of?
An afterglow kind of look about you. Yeah. I mean, generally these days you probably not got married a virgin. I mean, you know, it's you and I anyway. But I would like, you know, but you know, who knows? But I mean, most of the ones that I've seen, you know, look like they've, you know, they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know?
Well, let's.
It's just that kind of intimate portrait,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't
Right.
know.
No.
What Imagine, about, would you do that?
What, have an afterglow?
Yeah, we'll just have photos done, you know, after the special day.
Of course.
Yeah. Bottles of poppers on the side. Like empty milk bottles. Champagne. It'd be just a mess.
Empty wrappers in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing of lube.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Philip Searle with some breaking Joy news. Shocking details are emerging following the successful Joy trivia extravaganza on Sunday last week. Well-known Joy personalities are alleging that winners, the Royal Daltons, may have rigged the contest or perhaps paid their way to victory. For more, we cross to Kyle on behalf of Joy's Monday Breakfast team.
I'm not going to say that just because we came dead last in the trivia on Sunday that I'm jealous or angry or mad or anything like that, but I think the Royal Daltons bought their victory. I think they paid for it. I don't think they really deserve it. They are the Lance Armstrong of trivia.
In a press conference earlier today, General Manager of Joy 94.9, Conrad Brown, wasn't giving too much away.
Hi, Conrad Brown, the General Manager here at Joy. I just want to congratulate the Royal Daltons on another trivia win. That's 3 years in a row. If you make it four, we might have to give you a trophy or something.
Weekday Program Manager Chris Jameson also weighed into the conversation.
Third year in a row winning the Joy Trivia. Boys, did I say you're taking a rest for the next season?
Late this afternoon, audio emerged in the public arena of a telephone conversation between the Royal Daltons and Monday Drive host Trevin Sparks, presenters of the trivia event on the day, which support allegations that Michael and Glenn had a hand in writing the questions themselves.
Congratulations, and on behalf of Manic Monday Drive, good on you, boys.
And we'd like to thank you too, Vic. You saved us a hell of a lot of time by preparing your own questions.
We cross live now to Dean Beck, presenter of Hide and Seek and Word for Word, simply because it's been minutes since his last appearance on air.
Who won? What? Really? I don't know. I wasn't even there.
The winning table are still treating the win as a win and say that others are just jealous. Keep it locked on Joy 94.9 for more details as they emerge. And we now go back to our regular programming.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Now, Michael, I want to ask you something. When you meet someone and you get their number, and maybe at that point you don't know their surname, you put like a different kind of set. You'll be lucky to know their first name, let's be honest. But you're putting their number in your phone,
yeah.
And you might put Andrew Peel.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Nigel GH.
Yes.
Right. I have someone in my phone at the moment. It's Nick. Sorry, I lost you at the GH because that's the message that I got afterwards. Right. Anyway, so you know. It's good because you have like many people. I have about 25 marks in my phone. I need to distinguish them somehow.
Yeah.
Well, the other day, I was just sitting at home and my friend Rory was coming over to visit. He was coming at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6:30 and I was on the phone to the optometrist, not overly exciting, and the buzzer on my door went. And I thought, oh, that's a bit strange. Rory must be early.
It's a very late call for the optometrist.
Yeah,
isn't
I know.
It?
She's very committed, isn't she? Yeah. She was telling
just
me.
Out of interest. Yeah, just.
Yeah, yeah. She was sending some contacts out and, you know, all this. She was giving me all these instructions about how to wash them and all this kind of stuff. Wasn't really listening.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so the door went. I thought, oh, Rory's here early. I just opened the little thing, just let him in and whatever, all the rest of it's great. And then I just sort of went to the front door of the apartment while Rory, I presumed it was, or someone I knew. Anyway, I'm on the phone getting me instructions about how to wash my contact lenses.
Yeah.
And suddenly this quite handsome man starts approaching my door.
Definitely not Rory. No, Rory's lovely.
And I say, oh, really, and I just said, oh, just hang on a second. And I put the phone down and this person put his hand out and said, hi, I'm Chris.
Oh my God.
And I said, hi. And Chris had a t-shirt on, or like a polo shirt that sort of had Jim's Mowing or something. I think it was something electrical or something. And I thought, that's a bit strange. Have I ordered an electrician?
Get some work done. Yeah, yeah
maybe.
Yeah. He's come to wash my contacts.
Yeah. Or give me a spark. Yeah, I don't know. And I said, where are you from?
Oh,
and no. He said, I'm from Portugal. And I said,
lovely.
I said, I think you've got the wrong house. And he said, oh, would you be able to tell me, maybe you could help me where this is? And so he went and got his phone out and he got a text message up. And the text message said, the address is, and it basically had the apartment and the apartment and the street number around the wrong way.
Right.
So I'm 12 at number 3.
This is a stranger then.
You've a stranger.
Let into your flat.
Oh, he was in the hallway.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah.
I've let many
from
strangers
Portugal.
Into
Well,
into
I know,
my
but I mean, you know, generally.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, he on the message, it said, hi, the address is 3/12 and my street, and I'm at 12/3 at my street. I said, oh, look, you've got it around the wrong way. What you need to go to number 12 and apartment 3 and blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
And then I happened to glance at the name that this person was saved under. Craig Grinder.
Oh, my word. Great.
Isn't that fantastic?
And he was home to Portugal, on his way
to see Craig Grinder.
Wow. Maybe you're out there listening and you are one of those.
Yeah.
Give us a call.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
0427JOY949
SMSs. Well, at least he got there then.
Well, he got there then.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And I know that there's Craig Grinder's living at the opposite end of the street.
So he came and went from yours.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably from Craig's.
Indeed, yeah. Wow, I love that.
Yeah.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
I had a really good day on Monday because I went along and did some filming.
Right.
Which I haven't done for a very long time.
Yes.
You know, sort of almost forgotten how to do it.
Right.
And it turns
out
on the day.
What sort of video were you making?
It was porn.
Yes.
Yeah, porn. Good. Yeah.
Right. Any particular kind of fetish?
No, I was working alongside Barbara Quicksand, who I've known and loved for a long time.
Yes.
You know.
I know, the only drag queen that's had professional dance training.
Exactly. Mm. And Judith Lucy.
Oh, my God. She's a great drag queen.
Well, we were all plain drag queens, you know. Barbara Quicksand was Trixie.
Yes.
Judith Lucy...
What was this for?
It's called Being Brenda, which used to be called Queer as but they changed it to Being Brenda.
Yeah.
And it's an online show, and it's on in January. And we were all drag queens. I was Jean Poole, and Judith was Dusty Buster.
Great.
And it was
who looked the most feminine out of the three of you? Barbara Quicksand.
No, maybe me. Only that I wasn't.
Really?
I was had on this blonde flicked wig.
Oh,
you know Lisa, who's who you might know as Liam.
Yes.
It's Lisa's wig.
All right,
you know?
Yeah.
And
long blonde.
Long
bit
blonde.
Charlie's Angels.
Well, I turned to Judith and said, I think I go with it. And she said, yes. I said, I think I look a little bit like Denise Scott. And she said, you do a little. I'm probably not going to tell her that. So, yeah. It was really fun.
And what did you have to do?
Well, we were sitting there getting out in the makeup room.
So and you got your makeup done and everything.
No, this is while yourself. we were on. Yeah. And Judith had her makeup done because she was dressed. Well, I don't want to give too much away.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, but basically, Judith wasn't happy. Well, Dusty Buster wasn't happy and was taking a couple of swigs out of her hip flask.
Right.
To which the manager of the club, Barbara Quicksand, comes in and has a go at her. And it's what unfolds in this hilarity of all of that. And it was such a good day.
Well, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Yes.
It's very funny.
And I believe that maybe you got to have a can I even say, like, maybe a little bit of a... You got a bit of action on the day.
I did. I got a bit of action. Yeah. A bit of Judith Lucy mouth action and breast.
You've kissed Judith Lucy.
I kissed her and I went down on the breasts.
How long's that been?
It's been a while.
Primary school?
My mother. And I got milk. No, it's been since then, you know. I went out with Paula Waters. She was a cake decorator. That's why I liked her. And she played the flute.
A little wet?
Not mine, but, you know. Yeah, that's been a while.
Brilliant.
That's been a while. But it was happy days.
Great.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are with the Royal Daltons. It's Glenn and it's Michael. It's Wednesday. And we've been talking throughout the show that this man is about to come up because for the last 3 months he's been locked in a house and he was victorious this time last week, where not only did he take away $250,000 and a new car, but he proposed to his boyfriend live on air. It's a very big welcome to the Royal Daltons. Hello, Benjamin.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Very well.
Look, we're good, but more importantly, how are you?
I'm doing really well. This time last week, I wasn't doing so well. I was an hour away, and Big Brother was telling me to make sure I got ready for the show. And they're like, it's an hour to a live show. And I'm like, oh, God, they're going to give it to Layla. And I was then like, maybe they'll give it to me.
Mm.
Now, one of my favourite moments was when you were actually announced the winner, because the look on your face was absolutely priceless. Do you remember the kind of things that were going through your head when that happened?
Not really. Like, I think I was sitting there thinking Layla was going to take it out, and I knew that a gay man or a gay woman had never won Big Brother before, you know, and they really hadn't won that many reality TV shows in Australia, so I wasn't expecting to win. So it was a genuine response of just being an absolute shock and thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to cope with this? I was terrified.
Well, I've never noticed anybody's eyes go that wide in my life.
Yeah, my sister sent me a photo before. She just said, I heard you say on one of the radio shows that you haven't seen a photo or you haven't seen footage of what you look like when you won.
Mm.
And she texted it to me and I saw it and I was like, oh, no, she must have sent me the wrong photo because that looks like E.T. trying to phone home. And actual fact, it was me trying to phone home so that I could get out of the Big Brother house because the house was full of crazy people.
You know what? We don't really, know you. Nobody knows you because you've been on, you know, TV show and everybody's going to be different when they're in the Big Brother house. But and before we comment more on you as such, I don't reckon I know her either, but I think my guess is going to be, God, you've got one hell of a lovely mother.
Oh, yes.
Because she looks gorgeous.
She's one of those mums where she would go to parent-teacher interviews and then I'd go to school the next day and the teachers would always single me out and say, you know, your mum's an incredible person.
Yeah.
Or the parent-teacher interviews. And they didn't say that to any of the other kids. And it was, you know what it's like in high school. You've got many different teachers.
Yep.
It was that every teacher would say it. And the kids would look at me in the class like, who the hell is your mother? Like, woman. But she's had that warmth and that knowledge and know-how. And I think one of the reasons why I won Big Brother is I actually am a crazy person, but I have the values that she taught me over so long and some of the instincts that she sort of bestowed upon me. And I think that's the reason why I won, was that I have a mum like her.
Mm.
And I think for anyone who's out there that's gay that thought, you know, oh, it's going to be hard to tell their mother, I always thought it was hard to tell my mum. But I told her, and it was then never a question. She just was like, yep, you're gay, and that's fine, and nothing else. She just treated me like I with her son, and that's what you're supposed to do.
I think that's a really big thing that's perhaps come from your time in the house and having your mum in that beautiful scene come out and so excited come out and, you know, just she was just so genuinely overjoyed for you. But there are inevitably people who are listening today, Ben, who have not spoken to their mother or are worried about telling their mother. And I think that people seeing that on TV and, you know, the proposal to Ben and all of that kind of stuff is a really fantastic thing for people to be able to see, you know, millions of viewers and probably more across the world to be able to see that kind of thing.
Well, we have to say that Channel 9 has done a beautiful job in deciding to come up with Big Brother and reinvent it and have it PG and family orientated, but still say that it's normal for a gay man to be a part of their house.
Yeah.
Include me in the house, not as some novelty gay man, but portray me as the person that I am. And then me to not necessarily be a spokesperson for the gay community, but just be who I am. I want to propose to my boyfriend, and I propose to him, you know, and it's not meant to be like a political stance. I just genuinely am in love with my boyfriend and wanted to propose.
But that's been a byproduct of it. I mean, if you think back to when Merlin came out of the house, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, and he deliberately made a very political statement at the end, you've deliberately expressed your love to Ben. But,
and that's all it is.
Yeah, like and without a doubt, it's not. You know, I don't think for a second that you did it. You know, to diminish the love that you guys have for each other. But there's an additional political message that comes with that, which I think is fantastic. It's an added extra.
You need to. I mean, for me, I think I'm an everyday person, and I live my life that way. Ben's an everyday person; he lives his life that way. You know, coincidentally, we're gay and we're together. But more importantly, we found something that's so special, and I don't think love is available for everyone. I think you're lucky if you find love, and love that's strong enough to sort of be like, this is a marriage of values. Ben had no idea I was going to propose, but I've been wanting to propose for quite some time.
Yeah.
Because I was aware that I wanted him to be a part of my family, and my family were aware that they wanted him to be a part of us as well. So, I mean, this was just like an excellent opportunity to propose to him and demonstrate my love, and then have Australia kind of watch this and be like, well, there's family, there's the kids watching this, and this is creating a norm. Because it's not been, like, it's not been put on. This is just...
It's just normal.
Yeah.
It's an engagement, you know, and there's nothing more to it than the fact that this man seems to be in love with another man, and it's normal for him to propose.
Yeah, exactly right.
And that's
right.
What it should be.
Yes, you know, of course.
Now, we did, Ben, we did put the call out to our listeners if they had any questions. And so, Kylie says, congrats on the win, Ben, and thank you for stirring the pot so much and making the show interesting to watch. All the best for the future.
Yeah, now, is that Kylie Minogue that sent that in?
Yes, it is. I believe it is. She says, thanks for all the work you did for the Kylie for Floods as well, in the same,
exactly.
Same message.
Look, I stir the pot in my everyday life. Like,
I know.
I don't set out to do it. It's not an intense, like, it's not conjured up in some fake way. You know, I live my life like the way that I was on the show.
Go on.
Yeah, no, go, sorry.
Well, there's a lot, actually. There was one a little earlier asking how scripted or edited Big Brother is.
Okay, it's not at all. No. There's nothing there.
Obviously, it's edited, isn't it? Because, I mean, otherwise, you know, we'd had billions of hours of it.
Yeah, no one wants to watch billions of hours of Big Brother, and it's amazing that people watched as much as they did and still liked me and got behind me. But the reality is, like, it's actually quite an experience. You are cut off from everyone. Like, the producers don't talk to you ever as producers. If you're having a conversation with anyone, it's Big Brother, and he is always Big Brother. Mm. You don't refer to him as anything else. So, like, there's nothing
at
all.
What is Big Brother's name?
Well, we used to call him lots of different names there because obviously Big Brother's, you know, got different people playing him at different times of day. He couldn't be there all the time. But we used to either call him Apprentice because he sounded like he was the Apprentice Big Brother. Yeah. There was De Niro, and that's because he was the nasty one that he would always give us strikes and, you know, rope us in. There was the Statesman Big Brother, who was a beautiful man that came on during the day. And basically for me, if I ever was stressed in the house, I'd go in and have a chat with Statesman Big Brother and he would calm me down. But, you know, like, it was just such an... it's kind of like what people expect it to be when they're thinking about going in from home. But then again, it's also very different. Like, it's not all like going in there and making a music video. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why some people got eliminated, because they ran out of steam, because it was just so hard. Like, just... You know, some people were in there thinking, I'm going to be in here right to the end. But the reality was, for them, halfway through the show, they really just the cracks started to show and they fell apart.
You've got to have a lot of stamina to stay in that show, I imagine.
Yes. Now, I'm talking of steam and cracks. This one's come in asking, did Sam look hot in the shower?
Sam Farm, I swear that he bought it in a sex shop because it was the best bum I've ever seen.
Do you know what one it was? Because I'm happy to go there.
Well, it was quite... I'd be standing in the shower and Ben and I had a conversation before I went into the house and I wasn't never nude in the shower. But sometimes Sam would appear nude in the shower next to me and I really just didn't know what to do, really.
Probably happy you weren't nude.
Well, no. Oh, God, no. His personality was so boring that it would deflate anything. But essentially, you know, his bum was probably the best thing about him. Actually, I'll go as far as saying his bum was the only thing about him.
Right. Fair enough.
Now, Deborah, who's writing in all the way from the Gold Coast, says, you complained about Estelle until the last nanosecond of your Big Brother experience, which included throwing a toy out of the compound and water in the face of a 19-year-old lad. You're certain that... you are a habitual liar, sleepwalker and night eater, which were extraordinarily never occurred even once, which would confirm your lying claim. As an adult man of 32, who by your own admission has many defining life experiences, how would you advise your own child on how to deal with someone who's treated them as you have by others?
I think it's really interesting. I think what I'd hope with my children is that they were honest within themselves. And I think if they do make mistakes, like the mistakes that I made in the house, that recognising them is important. And I think I recognised a lot of the mistakes. Throwing a glass of water, being the oldest person in the house in an 18-year-old space, is only appropriate for the TV show Smash, not appropriate for Big Brother or for real life.
Oh, yeah. My God, I love that show.
I love that show as well. That was one bad moment for you. And, I mean, you know, I think you know that. Good tick.
Ben, one thing that sort of struck me, and Michael and I were talking about this before, and I've known you for a long time, but one thing about you is that you are direct, all right? There's no ever any fear that you're ever two-faced or anything like that. And I think if you're trying to edit a TV show like that, like Big Brother, someone who's very direct and who's gay is always going to come off looking like a bitch.
A bitch. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know. You know what? That's how Brenda has come about. I mean, Brenda wasn't a nickname for the show. Brenda's something that's followed me around since 90210 when I was on television. And that is, I can be as lovely as Brenda was on 90210, but I'd also turn around and tell Kelly that she was a slut. Look, I have always had the tag of being Brenda, and that's the side that comes out of me. And I guess Big Brother was an important thing to me because it taught me that hiding behind an alter ego of Brenda and saying things that were really inappropriate and blunt was not actually okay. I think I started to own up to a lot of the mistakes that I'd made, not necessarily just in Big Brother, but in my own life. And I've really come out of the Big Brother house and looked back at this experience and thought, I'm glad I was honest with myself in there. I'm glad I didn't change myself. But I'm also glad when I look back and I see that I took responsibility for my own actions.
Yep.
And to answer that question, I mean, if I had a child, which Ben and I will at one stage of our life, you know, I would hope that my child would be honest enough to recognise when he makes a mistake and own up to it.
Great.
But I also would not be sitting there, you know, chastising him over it. And, you know, I'd just be happy that he recognised that it was wrong and took responsibility for it.
Great. Rochelle has written in and says, keep on being yourself. We all loved watching you and don't change a thing. Kylie says, as a straight person, I love the fact that you proposed on TV and gay marriage should be widely accepted. Min says, are you going to La La Land on Friday?
And, tell Min that I haven't had a chance to catch up with him. But
or many others.
La La Land, anyone for that matter, La La Land on Friday, which I always go there on a Friday with all of my gay friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they've put up a gay rainbow flag for me, and I'll be looking forward to going back there and having a drink. Like,
exactly.
Nothing in my life changes. The friends that I have that are on the outside are actually the people that shape me to be the person that I am.
Yep.
And I'm just very lucky to be surrounded by incredible people. Like,
and that mummy, and your mummy.
And my mum.
Yep.
But I mean, it is very much about the people that I've chosen in my life to be there. And if you scratch the surface and you get to know anyone that's one of my friends, they're all just incredible people. And now, that sort of reflects the person that I am.
Exactly. Now, yeah, I mean, you go to the Peel after La La Land, I'm sure. But one last message has come in. It says, with all his counselling skills on Big Brother, I can see Ben hosting a talk show like Jerry Springer. Has he had many opportunities arise from his natural counselling abilities that he demonstrated in the house? And will we be seeing him on TV more in the future?
Well, I'm in Sydney at the moment, just humbled by the whole Big Brother experience. But, you know, that seems to be like lots of things are coming up and people are asking me and offering, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
But in reality, I'm not someone who's went on Big Brother to become something that I'm not. Like, I'm certainly not a psychologist. I'm not a trained psychologist. I mean, I have instincts, which means that I can read people's faces and tell them that...
throw water in it.
You know, throw water in their face, yeah. I've got instincts that say throw water in people's faces. No, it's not that. I think it's just more that I'm not a psychologist and, you know, any kind of office that comes...
Do you know anyone that is?
I actually know a psychologist. I know a guy named Dr. Glenn.
Oh, yeah. I work with him.
My phone is Dr. Glenn. Oh, you work with him?
Get analysed every Wednesday.
It's terrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Glenn, what did you think when you were watching me? Were you going, oh, that's good advice? Or were you sitting there going, I've never listened to a goddamn word Benjamin Norris has ever said to me?
Look, like I said to you, yes, I absolutely loved every moment of watching you in the house because you were so entertaining. And I loved that sort of genuine, very serious sit down and talk about difficult things. It was fantastic.
Real advice is good advice.
Mm, well, I don't know. Like, look, I think as long as I'm being honest and being true to myself, then anything
and
that
real.
I'm doing and real, then anything that I'm doing... look, I'll attract anything that comes along that, you know, big from that. So,
good.
I don't know. Like, it's just one of those surreal experiences to be on Big Brother and you just don't know what's going on. And then you come out, and for me, I just really am excited to come home, be there with my fiancé, take the dog for a walk and go to the shops and argue with Ben over we have beef or chicken.
Like, fantastic. Now, there's been loads and loads of messages coming in and everyone's loved your time on the house, as have we. Congratulations again on winning Big Brother and on just being a fantastic housemate and your engagement. And, well, we'll have to speak to you again very soon.
Yep. Well done.
I love Joy FM, and like I cannot wait to come in there and they're like maybe able to answer any more of those questions or just hang out with you or just be asked by security to leave. Like, I can't wait to get down there.
An on-air wedding, maybe.
Yeah. Done.
You're all invited to the wedding.
Lovely.
Can't wait.
Bye, mate.
Bye, bye.
Thanks so much. See you.
Bye. Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.